Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Local Jackson 5. I'm Andrew McKay. That's Candy. She's dancing. I'm singing. Between us, you still don't get quite
Radio
one full 92 performer.
92.3.
Oh, nicely done.
Thanks.
Opinion piece written in the letters to the editor section of the PNJ by C.J. Lewis, who is a political observer, commentator, critic. He's always sending me long letters of analysis of city council matters and other things as well. He says, "We know Commissioner Jeff Burgosh habitually uses his personal cell phone to conduct county public business. Burgosh wrote on his Jeff Burgosh blog that he doesn't want to carry separate phones for his personal use, civilian job, and elected county office. He uses his personal iPhone for everything. In February of 2022, Burgosh directed county staff to fix his personal iPhone in a process that created a copy of its contents, including his public records. Burgosh ordered the staff to delete it. On August 10th, News Radio 92.3's Andrew McKay asked County Administrator Wes Moreno about Burgosh's use of his private iPhone for county business. Moreno replied, 'It is what it is.'" That's what he said. Moreno said the county has no protocol to archive public records held on county employees' personal electronic devices and added of Burgosh's records, he could have just deleted them. How many county employees like Burgosh send, receive, and retain and delete county public records on one or more personal cell phones, tablets, and computers? If Burgosh had not directed county staff to fix his iPhone, would the county have ever seen, have ever even known that there are public records stored on his personal phone? When a citizen, business, or the media submits a public records request, how does the county's public records custodian know if a county employee retains responsive records that only they know about? Again, signed C.J. Lewis from Pensacola. Yeah, you can't really disagree with any of that. 7:13 here on News Radio 92.3. I especially like the part in the middle where they talk about some radio guy. I'll take it. I love it. Somebody's listening to the interviews and putting quotes together and making an article for the, an opinion piece for the PNJ. 437-1620. Oh, since we're talking county business, Jim Little has an article in the PNJ yesterday, I think, or at least that's when I saw it online. Could be today in print. Florida Ethics Commission announced Wednesday that it found no probable cause for a second ethics complaint filed against former Escambia County Commissioner Doug Underhill. The complaint, which was not public until Wednesday, sometimes they keep it all under wraps until, filed by Pensacola businessman David Baer against Underhill, alleging the former commissioner had accepted legal services from the McDonald Fleming law firm in three lawsuits without paying his legal bills. Ethics Commission investigation found Underhill was making regular payments to the law firm and had paid $138,000 with a remaining balance of $23,000. Good Lord. The amount of money that he has had to spend to fend off these lawsuits, it's crazy. No probable cause. Complaint itself highlights all the legal troubles that Underhill faces in civil court from his time as a commissioner from 14 to 2022. Two of the lawsuits mentioned in Bear's, I'm just reading the article. Two of the lawsuits mentioned in Bear's ethics complaint revolve around a defamation suit against Underhill, which he successfully defended. Underhill then sued Escambia County to reimburse his legal fees, and multiple courts have ordered the county to do just that. The county is still fighting that decision because you have at least three county commissioners who hate Doug Underhill and aren't willing to pay what the county does owe him to defend him for things he did not do wrong in when he was acting as an employee, as a county commissioner. But meanwhile, they did vote to reimburse an employee who did wrong, and they won't reimburse Underhill, who was found to be right. It's almost like they're using the money as leverage politically and retribution. Interesting. 437-1620. Good news note from NorthEscambia.com. We got three new fire trucks. We got a squad. That's the one that does like the rescues and the buttressing of the supports, kind of the all-purpose extra vehicle. That's going to go to Station 9 in McDavid. Another engine, a pumper engine, is going to go to Ferry Pass Station 7. That's a lot of stuff in Ferry Pass. That's a combo unit. They've got both a volunteers and a regular, if I remember correctly. And then a ladder. Truck is going to Osceola Station 12. So that's great. $2.4 million for those three trucks, and we could use a dozen more. Seriously. 716. You know how we've been waiting on this AmbuBus?
Yeah.
Still waiting.
Yeah,
it's not going to be here for Saturday. And it turns out it's not really a good fit. I was talking to Eric Gilmore about this yesterday, the public safety director. It turns out not to be a good fit for the transport needs for the hospital moving from the current location of Moreno Street over to Brent Lane. But yeah, the guy who was going to do it, they were getting ready to send it to him. He's like, yeah, I can't do it. We've been waiting like 9 months on this guy. What you mean? Well, so they're going to have somebody else come in and do it because the grant money is going to expire if they don't spend it. So it'll happen. But yeah, no, this has been a delay and debacle. The problem right now is you just can't get people to do work. And if they do it, they do it badly. It's weird. I mean, I'm not the only one who's experiencing this. Like, people don't do the stuff they're supposed to do. And if they do it, like, if you can get them to do it, it's done badly. It's just weird. We're in a weird place in this country right now. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And this is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. We're watching one accident in Pensacola, Spanish Trail and Creighton Road, but it looks like it's been moved off to the side, so you shouldn't have any problems getting around. This is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. They're family serving your family since 1929. More info on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. That's Knox with a K, K-N-O-X. Knox knocks them out. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Female-owned local company serving the Pensacola area for more than 35 years. Winning all the awards, best of the Bay, best of the coast, best of Pensacola. It's ProHealth Florida. They are a new relatively new advertiser on the show. They have seven locations: Gulf Breeze by the Whataburger across from Andrews Institute, Santa Rosa Beach, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, Pensacola on Summit, and Pensacola at College Parkway behind the Sam's Club. You can do primary care, you know, walk-in or urgent care. 8 to 4, Gulf Breeze in Pensacola and Fort Walton. 8 to 1 is emergency care, okay, for the, and even Saturday, 8 to 1 at the Pensacola location by Sam's Club. You get lab work done. You get occupational health screenings, vaccinations. It's anything you need related to medicine. And they have a ProHealth medical membership plan as an alternative to insurance, or if you, for whatever reason, don't have insurance. It's only $45 a month. You get unlimited primary care visits and zero copay, 24/7 teledoc services, physical, flu shot, lab work discount, procedures discount, all that stuff. So if any of that appeals to you or just want to find out more, check them out online at ProHealthFL.com or just stop in anywhere you like.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Here's a question for Christians. What year was it that you were saved? I'm asking, when were you converted to Christ? And I'm not asking, when were you baptized or when did you receive the Lord's Supper? I'm not asking about religious works that you have done, but I'm asking you, when did you receive the work that Christ has done for you? When was it that you were convicted about your sin? When was it that you called on Christ to save you from the consequences of your sin? When did you seek God's forgiveness? For me, it was June of 1988. When was it for you? If you have never received Christ's forgiveness, the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
It's not too late.
Enroll today for fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free.
That's right, loan-free.
PSC offers more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that works best for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for fall classes today at PensacolaState.edu. Go here, get there. Pensacola State College.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that is Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry. Gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. They're on Creighton Road, right across from Tom Thumb. Emerald Coast Coins.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I was thinking about Abraham Lincoln, the enemies of the truth. But I could not tell a Kennedy from a John Wilkes Booth. Now out of my way, out of my way.
Resolution number 2023-062, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Pensacola, Florida, in support of the designation of 9th Avenue from Bayfront Parkway to Cervantes Street as Lewis Bear Jr. Way, providing for an effective date.
This was an item that came up at the city council meeting last week in Pensacola. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because David Baer, of course, the son, had shown up at the city council meeting, the agenda review session previously, and talked a little bit about his dad. And then, you know, and actually, I think I have this here. I can play it for you. Yeah, here. This is him talking at the agenda meeting on Monday.
I guess I'll be here to speak on behalf of the rest of the family back there. But thank you for this consideration. It's quite an honor. We appreciate the Florida Legislature for doing this, and the City Council also for recognizing it. It's important to us, and he was important to our community. So thank you very much for your consideration.
And then what surprised me is I expected to see David or to hear David speaking at the City Council meeting where they were voting to approve the renaming. And it's not a renaming; it's a memorial designation. So it's not going to be like 9th Avenue is going to actually change street signs or anything like that. But Bel Baer, who I don't think I have ever in my life heard speak in a public meeting. Of course, she was Lewis's wife, a long time married to him and the matriarch of the family. But it was kind of wild to hear her. I know her really well in private life. And anyway, so just it was fascinating to hear her talk.
I'm Bel Baer, and I was married to Lewis for 56 and a half years. And his family came here in 1876, so it's a lot of Bears have been in Pensacola. He would be very flattered. He would be embarrassed because he didn't like recognition, but he loved his community, and he loved what he could do for the community and what he could do for people. And I really appreciate it. It's an awesome thing. Thank you.
And obviously the Baer family has given an enormous amount of money. I mean, you see their name is on, you know, everything, including the new hospital and the YMCA and everything else around town. Charles Baer, it's funny because when this had come up previously, he had made similar kinds of comments, and I think it was on this subject that it had come up. But I just want you I found it so interesting what City Councilman Charles Baer had to say at this moment.
There were times I was scared of him. I've told David this because David and I have shared a lot. There's times I was scared of him, but I also knew that when he went after something, it got done. The only thing that has not happened is the tech park. And David and I were talking about that. We need to make sure something gets in there because that's on this stretch of roadway. So I'm committed to that, and I'm hopeful we can do that.
But yeah, which makes sense. That certainly is a continuing reminder of an inability to solve an economic development demand.
You know, your family, not just Lewis, but your entire family has made such an indelible mark on our community. And I'm so thankful that there are still members that are active, you know, and carrying the mantle that Lewis, you know, and before him, the decades, the century plus of time that the Bears have been in our community. It's just made a huge impact, and we just thank you. And this is the least we can do. And I look forward to driving down that road and seeing that sign and just thinking about him, the times that he scared me and the time he was on my side, you know, because sometimes he wasn't always with me, but when he was with me, well, I really felt like I'd done something right. So, but he was an incredible man.
And, you know, I've always said people loved him or didn't love him. They did respect him.
Yeah, I think there's always love. It's just there's fear sometimes, you know. I mean, you can still love someone you're afraid of, but he was a great man. Thank you very much.
Sounds like Charles has some feelings, which is it's adorable to hear that. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy first has traffic on the fives.
All right, and there's an accident now, 29 and 9.5 mile, right in the middle of the road, blocking things in both directions. So use caution there. Also, Creighton and Spanish Trail showing an accident, but that has been moved off to the side. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Now, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Attorney General Merrick Garland scheduled to testify before the House Judiciary Committee today. An excerpt of Garland's opening remarks show he's ready to push back on claims that some Republicans have made that his office makes decisions based on political motives. President Biden and Brazilian President Lula da Silva will be launching what they're calling a U.S.-Brazil Partnership for Workers' Rights. Biden and Lula plan to roll that out at the UN General Assembly with the goal to bring in more member nations as partners. And Seeing a report now, it looks like Congressman Matt Gaetz may have forgotten something in a bathroom at the Capitol building recently. A draft resolution to remove Kevin McCarthy as Speaker was apparently found on a baby changing table in a bathroom underneath the House floor.
The picture of how legislation gets drafted in my head is now dramatically changing. Go on, David.
So the Daily Beast says this motion was found by a reporter yesterday in that bathroom. Reporter Matt Laszlo has posted some photos of the motion on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. He says that it was put forth by Gaetz, who's, of course, been a pretty vocal critic of McCarthy. The resolution did have Gaetz's name on it. It wasn't signed, though, and it hasn't been officially filed yet. So.
Okay. Make your bet. What are the odds that Matt left it there on purpose?
Oh, I'd say they're pretty good.
I'd say 4-1.
Yeah.
I'd say 4-1. You gotta outpay me 5-1 or more in order to get me to take a bet against that. Yeah, that seems more likely to have been deliberate than, oh, I just left a piece of draft legislation with political significance on the baby changing table in the men's bathroom here with a note on the top that says, Dear Press. I mean, weird.
I mean, don't all motions get written on the baby changing table in,
apparently
in the basement
all of them
bathroom?
Do,
you
right,
know? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Also, ew. Would you? I mean, I just think of all the places in the men's restroom that are not likely to be clean, and the changing table is pretty high up on that list for me personally, I'll just say.
Yeah, but not the house in Tallahassee. See, don't you think they'd be sparkling there? It's trying to help.
Been to the Capitol in Tallahassee. It's often clean, not always. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home or just want advice or input, want to bounce ideas off somebody, I mean, literally, you just want to ask Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. I mean, she's just fantastic at this. In fact, Merle and Barb had written on the Leavenworth Realty site, said, Christina is the best. Due to a serious health issue about 6 months ago, we decided to move closer to our children, so moving out of state, or at least to a different location. In looking for a realtor, we saw that Christina had a proven track record in sales. After giving her a call, she recommended a price and sold our home in, God, it took 4 days. 4 days. If that wasn't enough, after we relocated to out of state, she spent many hours ensuring a storm-related storm shutter issue was resolved. You'll not go wrong if you use Christina for your next home purchase or sale. And that's, again, I try to tell you so many times, she just goes above and beyond. She kind of has that spirit of excellence, heart of service kind of attitude, and the team members that she surrounded herself with do as well. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158. What else do we have going on? Very interesting. And, you know, we don't talk much about COVID because, I don't think anybody wants to talk about COVID, frankly. But this is what I find fascinating. News Service of Florida has continued to look at the every 2 week reports. I actually stopped looking at them for a couple of months. I've started again because the stories have come out again. The headline is, and News Service of Florida generally does great work. Okay. They do really, really good work. COVID-19 death toll continues to climb. Yeah, because there are still people dying from it, but that doesn't tell you anything. Of course. I mean, the news would be nobody's died of COVID-19 in a year. It makes it seem like it's getting worse. And continuing to go up, that's a positional reference, meaning like, you know, the car continues to drive down the road. Well, is the car accelerating or decelerating? That's the, and how fast is the car going? The car is not going fast, and the car is not accelerating. I looked at the numbers. It are just a real quick look. Yes. People are still dying from COVID. In Florida, about 250 a week. That's not good. That's still a fair number of people. But it's nowhere close to even peak levels in the thousands per week. Peak was 2,500 a week. Or even the concern levels of like 500 or 600 or 700 or 800 a week. And it's not really changing. So if you see these stories, yes, it's true. COVID is still with us. It is still killing people, almost exclusively people who are highly vulnerable or over 65, which has been the truth we've known for as long as we've had the disease, right?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There could be a showdown at the United Nations this morning when Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky takes part in a Security Council meeting about the Russian invasion. He tells the UN General Assembly,
Ukraine is doing everything to ensure that after Russian aggression, no one in the world will dare to attack any nation.
Russia's Security Council member and Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is expected to attend the special session. The Federal Reserve Bank today announces its decision on interest rates.
The central bank is expected to hold interest rates steady, a step consistent with the Fed's shift to a slower and more considered pace of rate increases. However, Fed Chair Jerome Powell will deliver new economic projections and signal whether rates could be increased at one of the remaining two Fed meetings of the year.
That's Fox's Hillary Barsky. That interest rate announcement is at 2 p.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
News Radio 92.3. Good morning. I'm David Wayne. It's 71 right now. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola today. A Pensacola man charged with a fatal hit-and-run crash in Okaloosa County. This happened last August. 28-year-old Alexander Edwards has now been arrested on hit-and-run charges. According to an arrest report, Edwards was driving and hit a man on August 12th on General Robert M. Bond Boulevard, then drove away. That man died a few days after the crash. The vehicle was later found at a home in Fort Walton Beach. And then several weeks after that, deputies say Edwards' employer told them he hadn't shown up for work and his vehicle was missing. Well, he later checked into a New Orleans hotel. That's when an arrest warrant was issued. He's now being held in the Okaloosa County Jail on $22,500 bond. Well, Baptist Hospital getting ready to open that new campus over on Brent Lane this weekend. Conversations are still going around regarding the future of the soon-to-be-vacant Legacy Campus over on E Street. Mayor D.C. Reeves says they've had meetings with Senator Doug Broxson and Representatives Alex Andrade and Michelle Salzman over whether state funds could potentially be awarded to cover some of the costs of demolition. But in order for that to happen, the old property would have to be owned by the city.
We know that the potential generational impact this can have. We know the negative impact it could have on the existing neighborhood if nothing is done. So I think they feel the shared duty that we do, that to do our best to make sure that what's left behind at the Legacy Campus is something that we can be proud of.
Reeves says the city is continuing to work with Baptist officials on a property donation agreement. The ultimate goal would be seeing portions of that Legacy Campus transformed into affordable housing developments. The legal battle over Escambia County School District's removal of books from their libraries continues. We get more on that from Joe Ford.
On Monday, attorneys for the plaintiffs filed a 51-page document disputing the school board's arguments that the case should be dismissed. Five authors, the publishing company Random House, and seven parents originally filed the suit. In a motion last month, the district argues the board's decisions has not prohibited the author's ability to write, market, or sell their books. Meanwhile, the plaintiff's attorneys argue that the district's removals have disproportionately targeted books by or about people of color and or LGBTQ people, thereby violating the First Amendment and equal protection rights. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate that update. Well, big news for the city. They've received an urban and community forestry grant, $1 million, and that'll be used to plant trees in underserved communities.
Statistics show that the average temperature on the sidewalk in underserved communities throughout our country can be 10 to 15 degrees warmer because of the lack of tree canopy. So obviously, we certainly have areas that we're going to be able to use this very, very quickly.
And that's Mayor Reeves there. He says the Urban and Community Forestry Grant will cover tree planting and maintenance, restoration and resilience, and workforce development. About $700,000 will go towards planting trees around the community, $300,000 for forestry education. And the legal battle between the state and the Miami bar appears to be over. The owners of Our House in Wynwood and the governor's office said yesterday they've now settled a complaint that was filed last year over the bar hosting drag shows. The Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation accused the bar of breaking state law by allowing minors at one of the shows. The governor's office says the bar's owners have agreed to pay a fine, but Our House says they did not admit guilt. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
As I understand, four cars are involved in this accident on 29 and 9.5 mile. See if I can. It looks like southbound. The right-hand lane is blocked, so caution there. And somebody else called and said it was blocked in both directions. So caution in that area, wherever you are. And if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good Wednesday morning, another cool start, and another nice day on tap. Partly cloudy skies and highs in the mid to upper 80s, about average for this time of year. A little bit warmer maybe this morning compared to the last couple of mornings. That's because the humidity is back. We do have a small rain chance today. It sits at about 20%. We'll keep that 20% chance for rain on Thursday and Friday as well. So lows will continue in the lower 70s to upper 60s and highs in the mid to upper 80s. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting here at WEAR News.
And looks like a nice morning. It's 71 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, and 65 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Amazon is gearing up for the holidays by hiring 250,000 employees to help manage the rush. It's also bumping the average hourly pay for warehouse and delivery workers. That holiday hiring number is a significant step up from previous years. Last year, the company said it would bring on 150,000 people. Hourly wages will range between $17 and $28, and the company's offering sign-on bonuses worth $1,000 to $3,000 in some locations. Meanwhile, Target says it plans to hire 100,000 seasonal workers. The USFL and XFL are in talks to merge spring football leagues. The leagues hope to finalize a merger for the 2024 season, but the deal would need regulatory approval first, and it's unclear where the broadcasts of the game would go. The USFL appeared on Fox and NBC. The XFL broadcasts have been shown on ESPN and ABC. On Wall Street, futures are higher after stocks closed lower yesterday. And that's Your Money Now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
It's a celebration. Join us for the Impact 100 20th Anniversary Celebration on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Brownsville Community Center. This event is a celebration to honor two decades of empowering women and transforming lives in our community. Presented by Kia Autosport and Sandy Sansing Dealerships. Limited tickets are available, so visit impact100pensacola.org to buy your ticket today.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. Local programming from 5 a.m. until 11 a.m. with Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Expert Panel. Local programming from 4 to 7 p.m. with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. And local programming at night with a simulcast of WEAR-TV News. Live and local with News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. At 7:39, I'm Andrew McCain. We've got D.C. Reeves on the line. He is the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you. That's the first time I've ever heard other words in that song.
I know. We normally get to it so fast, but you and I got caught chatting off the offline, and I'm like, oh, the music's playing. Let's go. We got to go. $1 million for a tree planting grant focused on what some people are calling tree deserts or, you know, underserved communities, low-income areas. This seems like a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about now, we were having lots of conversations about what is ultimately about a $300,000 tree planting trust fund that we've had for many, many years. This is $1 million. And we have designed it on purpose. Our application said, you know, we have several areas of need. And when we've studied our own tree canopy and seeing where there are trees, we're like most cities in the country, which is in the higher income areas. Think about, you know, East Hill, East Pensacola Heights, Cordova Park. We've got better tree canopy than the places where you took out interstates, you know, decades ago, and where that has not been taken care of as much generationally. So we have as I said in the press conference, it's unfortunate but opportunistic that we have many places we can go in tomorrow and start being able to plant these trees. So $700,000 for just strictly tree planting. We actually hire an urban forester, and I keep asking if he has to wear some kind of ranger uniform. I may require it, but we are going to hire an urban forester to really have the lay of the land of how we're going to spend this money, as well as I'm sure give us great insight and feedback into the rest of our tree canopy throughout the city. So we're very, very excited to get that. And again, kudos to our grants office and everyone else, Public Works, our arborist, everybody involved in getting this done.
No, it's a really good note. I would be remiss if I didn't ask the question, mostly in jest. Also, you referenced it in the Pensacola agenda, in the agenda review, but none of this is going to be used to remove trees though, right?
Yeah, I know. I want to leave that open just for fun, but no.
We don't want to dwell on that. Let's just move on. So, but seriously, on this topic, we've really had trouble finding places to spend the money to plant the trees. You're saying we can do this. We will blow through that money as quickly as we possibly can, in a smart way. I mean,
yeah. I would get it different, Andrew. I really don't think it's not so much that we had a problem finding it, that we never had a cohesive plan. And so, Coincidentally, coming to council in the next 30 days is we're going to bring about what I told the council. I promised them that, hey, after all this controversy, I'm going to bring you a plan of how we can get these trees in the ground, use this money. So we're bringing forth about $75,000 of that initial spend of that proposal that we've studied exhaustively about where these trees should go. So I think that's going to be a great pilot for this, coincidentally. But I don't think it's a problem finding the places. It's a problem getting our arms around a plan to move it forward. And I think we've done that. So I think this will be a great little pilot for us here coming up in the next 30 days on the current trust fund. But then now we should know how to get this procedurally going so we can extend it much faster.
Outstanding. Somebody had texted me in the question. I assume the answer here is no, but I'll ask anyway. Any plans to plant any fruit trees in the area? I would assume no, because the water required for them would be so high. But is that even on the radar?
I would leave that definitely to someone better than me, either Mayor Wiggins or our arborist.
Former mayor, right.
Knows more about gardening and planting than I'll ever know. But I think we would entertain anything, but I'd hate to say we would or wouldn't, because I would leave it to them.
I gotcha. Very good. Speaking of having a plan and understanding what your inventory is and knowing what it's going to cost to keep it and to maintain it, oh my God, the Bay Bluffs Park thing. It's heartbreaking because that's such a great amenity, but it's closed, not safe, don't go. $1 million is the price tag, we think.
That's right. Yeah. As I said in the press conference, look, you know, I promise I didn't run for this job to come close your parks or your community center. That's not what I want to do. It's not what our Parks and Rec Department wants to do. It's just we've turned over a rock, a generational rock, that we didn't put enough structure in place to be able to keep an eye on these things and take care of them when we should have. And so that's not any one person or any one department. It's just a generational priority list. And it probably dates back well before this mayor, strong mayor format and other things. Just it's got to be a priority when you build these things. And so I promise all of our citizens that anything that's being built or has recently been built, that infrastructure will be in place moving forward. But yet again, another example of something that we just didn't keep our eyes on as a city. And we looked at options like popping a board off and putting a board on. That was my question at the beginning. It's like, guys, this is a boardwalk. Like,
right. How bad can it be?
Right. Can we send someone in there with some 2x4s and let's get this thing done, you know? And but the problem is it's the pilings. It's what's going into this eroding bluff that is rotting. And when you start talking about that, now you're talking about the stability of the entire structure and in significant expense to get a team to go in there. I'm afraid to even know what the demo price is going to be. We don't know that yet. I think it's going to be whatever you're thinking in your head. I think it's going to be way higher. Because it's going to be a difficult demo to get in there,
and
get
the
a crew in there,
right,
be able to get everything out.
Yeah.
So we've talked about a multitude of options moving forward, and so all I can say is it's closed indefinitely. We'll look for grant funding. We probably would not replace it exactly the way it is right now. You know, there's been conversations about what if we blaze trails back there, and it's not on the wooded platform. What if we just leave it open? we'll entertain that as it comes, but. Yes, unfortunate news, not news I like to deliver, but at the end of the day, we've got to do what's right for the safety of the citizens and our kids and everybody that's playing back there.
Can I just be the layman on this for a second? Because obviously we've had problems with graffiti and keeping it clean and all that. That's never ending. But as many times as I have been up and down that structure, I never felt that it was, and I've been on a lot of rickety decks and things in my life, and I never felt any wiggle, uncertainty, unsafety. Like, it's not even close in just my personal experience. So really, how bad can it really be if it doesn't give off any of that sense? Is it really, I mean, I guess what I'm asking is it really urgent? Could you not just put up signs that say, hey, you know, we found some things, proceed at your own risk? I mean, it seems like closing it is too much.
Yeah, the options presented to me were there was a Band-Aid approach that I was told may give us 3 more years. That would have been a significant 6-figure expense.
Okay.
Significant. So meaning that then we throw that out in 3 years and start over. So I was given an option of that. But look, I hear you, and trust me, it's self-policing. If there was some way for us to make this work and continue to have it open, I mean, put yourself in my position. Well, trust me, we would entertain that if that was possible.
Yeah.
If that was something that was given to me. But the cost benefit of extending such a short amount of time, I don't think is responsible with a taxpayer dollar. If it was $100,000 or less, something like that, where we could get it going a little bit, I would be okay with that. But the number, even that, was too steep. So we still have some examination to do. Don't get me wrong. Not on whether we close it or not, but just what our next step forward is. We're still waiting on some pricing and the other things, but so more to come. But that's just the reality where we are. We've had it closed since March. The taxpayer was due an update, and that's where we are as we sit here today.
All right. Well, you know, I know you know this. As you said, you didn't run to be the guy who closed community centers and park facilities, but that is just a fantastic amenity that I'm sure people are just heartbroken is not going to exist, especially as we're finally coming into the part of the year where people could use it more because of the weather. We're talking to D.C. Reeves. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Accident on 29 and 9.5 mile, right in the middle of the road, blocking things. It was both directions. Now it's mainly southbound. It's backed up to Kingsfield in 29. And a truck turning around on Pine Forest and 297A is blocking things in every direction, north and southbound on Pine Forest and westbound on 297A. If you have a traffic tip, text it in, if you could, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Something caught my attention in the city council meeting, that an item that just kind of caught me sideways because I didn't know what was going on, but you took money out of and defunded $200,000, I believe, out of the Women Veterans Memorial Fund and put it into the Chappie James Flight Academy classroom. I remember there was something where I don't know. We have the monument, and then we have the Amtrak station that had been converted over into the museum, and I haven't kept up on this, but what's going on here? Is this not happening now?
Yeah, the last conversation we've had with them was that group asking out of their lease at the Amtrak station.
But, okay.
They weren't going to be able to meet those financial obligations, those benchmarks that they had to be able to lease the building. And so now we're looking into using that building long term, fingers crossed, maybe passenger rail, but in the short term, we may use that as an amenity for our staff, our city employees, in the meantime, just to have something occupied in there. But that's the last conversation we've had with them. So the Chappie James Museum, also an asset of ours,
right.
They had gotten some grant funding early on. We had dealt with some complexity to that. So this is the here and now, right in front of us, to be able to capitalize on that grant. And so that's why that decision was made. But as far as what the update is, certainly you have to talk to that organization. We have not heard from them since we received that letter many months ago.
All right. So the Amtrak station is back to being vacant, and there's no real pending plans for the monument either. Is that kind of where we stand as far as you know?
As far as I know,
that's
correct.
Wow. Bummer, man. I was so excited about that monument. All right. Fair enough. Last thing is this weekend, Saturday, you have the big move from Moreno Street to Brent Lane. Both locations are now inside the city, although I think the travel route will probably go outside of the city to get there. What is the city's involvement in the move facilitating it? I know we've had a lot of conversations about what's going to happen to the old property, the building, the demolition, the cost, the grants, and all of that. But the move itself, what is the city's participation in that process?
I know we will have a heavy presence with our first responders. I know we're going to be a large part of that. And Mike, tomorrow, probably could give you even more details on exactly what they're going to do, how many folks. But we've had conversations with both police and fire that we're going to have heavy involvement in that, as I'm sure the sheriff's department
right.
and others will have. It's going to be quite a move. And it, as you said, we at the city continue to have conversations. We have, I believe, a meeting scheduled next week to try to get through our punch list items of what Baptist would be obligated to and what we would be obligated to in terms of a potential donation of that property and being able to procure grant funding. So so that's our side of it. But, yeah, I know we'll have many of our heroes out there trying to help what will be, I think, quite an amazing feat to get an entire hospital moved from one to the other in a matter of a day. So
absolutely,
so best wishes to them, the Baptists, and everybody involved.
All right. We always like to end with the lightning round. If you've got a piece of fruit that has part of it is really, really bad, an apple, a banana, something, or an orange, but the rest of it seems fine, are you a eat the good part or throw the whole thing away kind of person?
Man, that's too case by case. I'm willing to take a look at cutting off the bruise of an apple. I'm willing to look at it. Depends on how hungry I am.
All right. Desperation makes for compromises, right? Have you ever worn jorts? They're coming back, apparently. That's what they tell me.
Yeah, but not because they were cool. yeah, maybe in high school, you know. But I also had a bowl cut then, you know. So someone's probably got a photo of a bowl cut with me in jorts at some point. But yeah, that was I was well behind the times then. I'm not going to catch back up now.
Is there any other very embarrassing clothing that you ever wore that you really wish you had not worn now?
No, actually, one that I wore by myself that's now cool. I'm sorry. I was fashion forward. I used to wear basketball jerseys. I was a big basketball player. I wore basketball jerseys all the time in middle school, and I was the only one. Now everyone does it. See?
You were cool before it was cool. Okay, trendsetter. I like that.
Yeah.
And tell me something that you learned in school that you have never, ever had to use in your real life. Maybe something that you even suspected at the time you would never, ever need in your real life.
Yeah, whatever's past Algebra 1, I don't remember what it was, but, you know.
Geometry, trigonometry, pre-calc, calc, none of that?
Algebra 2, I said to myself, and it was really rationalization to not do the homework, but I just said to myself, I'll never need this. So, so eat that, you know, whoever was you know, I don't think I've needed it so far.
But certainly basic math kind of helps when you're running a city and a business, right?
Hey, look, triple-digit multiplication and whatnot, anything past that, I think –
maybe not be necessary. Very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, good to talk to you, sir. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you so much for the time, as always. I appreciate it.
Of course. All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You too. 753 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you are 64, turning 65, you're going to switch over onto Medicare, and that might, I don't know, might scare you. It shouldn't. It doesn't need to, but it can because it seems like a big change. And maybe you're getting stressed out by people calling you or sending you letters or emailing you and making you feel like this is a big, difficult thing. It's not. I've got a good friend, Ricky Stewart. I've known her as long as we've lived here. She's great. I mean, genuinely. You're going to meet her and be like, man, he says you're great, but you're even better than that. Like, that's going to be your reaction to her. Candy, back me up on that. I'm not wrong, right?
She's the best. She's the best. Best of the best.
She really
the best.
Is. Anyway, and she'll answer all your questions. She'll get you switched over. No problem. Advantage, supplement, Medicaid, if that applies to you, whatever the case may be. Ricky Stewart will take care of you. Ricky Stewart Insurance, 341-2185.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Guy Benson talks to the big newsmakers every day from 2 to 4 before Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Reminds me of my constitutional law professor. 756.
And our engineer.
Oh, man. That's the only class in high school or college or grad school that I ever didn't get an A or B on. Shall not pass. Yeah.
I was talking looks-wise. He looks like Jeffkovsky.
I got a C in that class, and largely because I had a knockdown, drag-out fight with my girlfriend at the time the night before the final. I mean, just, you know, one of those like, you know, it's not a good choice. And it was a class that was hard to begin with. Ironically, now I love constitutional law, love court cases, and, you know, like, who knew? Whatever. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. Also, semi-ironically, I always better at math and science, not as good at English. I mean, I was good, but not like that wasn't my proficiency. What am I doing now? Humanities, language, writing, speaking, math. Math only for pandemics, basically. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And a couple of accidents you want to watch out for. Well, one accident, 29 and 9.5 mile, and it is blocking things southbound. It was back to Kingsfield and 29, so just something to keep in mind. And there was a truck turning around on Pine Forest and 297A, and it was blocking things in every direction, north and southbound on Pine Forest and westbound on 297A. So caution there, wherever you are. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Five Americans that were imprisoned in Iran are back in the U.S. today. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says it was a favorable deal. One of those prisoners had been held in Iran for more than 8 years.
For me, my number one responsibility around the world is to help Americans who are in trouble, and particularly those who are being unjustly held in jails anywhere. I want to bring them home.
And the deals faced some criticism from Republicans who accused President Biden of paying ransom to a known state sponsor of terrorism.
Secretary of State White Obama. You ever listen to the way Tony Blinken talks?
Oh, yeah.
Talks exactly like Barack Obama.
You know, I hadn't thought about it until you said it. Now I won't be able to unhear it.
If you listen to him, he just sounds like the former president. Yeah, it's wild.
And,
go ahead.
Andrew, I've got a question for you. String cheese.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm there. Talk
how to me. How do you eat it? Do you bite it? Do you peel the strands off? What do?
You peel the strands off. We're not barbarians. Who bites a string cheese?
Today is National String Cheese Day, invented by cheesemaker Frank Baker in St. Cloud, Wisconsin in 1976. A little science: when mozzarella cheese is heated and then stretched, the milk proteins line up, and that's what makes it stringy. But people are divided on how to eat it. By design, it's meant to be pulled. But if you just bite it, psychiatrists say, that's okay. You're not a monster. I'm Bree Tennis, NBC News Radio.
Psychiatrists
you
are
pass.
Wrong.
You pass the test. You're not a monster,
also,
Andrew.
Also, who says mozzarella? What? How pretentious. Unreal. Thanks, David. We'll be back.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9, with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.